Well, greetings in the name of the one who loved as none could love and washed his servant's feet. Our Master, Lord and Master. Jesus said, "You call me Lord and Master." Let's try to be like him.
Well,
God bless you and bless each one as we gather together and learn more about the Lord and Master. Let's pray. Our dear Father, we thank you for the blessing of learning about Jesus. Thank you for the blessing of brothers and sisters and the Lord's Day to gather together and encourage each other. Be encouraged, Father. Thank you for our brother David, for the sermons we hear each Sunday morning. We ask your blessing on Brian, Erica, and baby, and the brethren from further south in Mexico as they meet there in Eloy's house, near them, near Brian especially. Give him wisdom and strength. Ask your mercy on any who are struggling or those who are in pain. Father, be with them and the sick and the afflicted. Thank you for this beautiful day. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew 10, I believe, is what we're ready for today. Jesus summons his 12 disciples, calls them. Now, verse 1. Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Now the names of the 12 disciples are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew's brother, and James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. There were 12 disciples Jesus called to help him. Simon, Peter, Andrew, James, his brother John, Philip, Thomas, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon, Thaddeus, Judas, and Bartholomew. Jesus calls us to, Jesus calls us to, we are his disciples, I am one or you. Jesus calls us to, Jesus calls us to, we are his disciples, we his work must do. So there we have the list and the song that goes with it. Verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent out after instructing them, "Do not go in the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter any city of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you receive, freely give. Do not acquire gold or silver or copper for your money belts, or a bag for your journey, or even two coats, or sandals, or a staff, for the worker is worthy of his support. And whatever city or village you enter, inquire who is worthy in it, and stay at his house until you leave that city. As you enter the house, give it your greeting. If the house is worthy, give it your blessing of peace. But if it is not worthy, take back your blessing of peace. Whoever does not receive you nor heed your words as you go out of that city or that house or that city, shake the dust off your feet. Truly I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Okay. Sending them out the first time. These young, inexperienced disciples. He told them how to go. And especially through the mercies of God, to give one last call to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Jesus, concerned about the lost sheep. First of all, His sheep that was lost, His heart goes out to them. Later He told them to preach to the Samaritans. Later He told them to preach to the Gentiles. But here, it's to the lost sheep. Giving them God's wonderful mercy and blessing in spite of their rebellion and hatred for His love. That's our Lord. Healing the sick, raising the dead, cleansing the lepers. 16. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. But beware of men, for they will hand you over to the courts and scourge you in their synagogues. And you will even be brought before governors and kings for my sake, as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they hand you over, do not worry about how or what you are to say, for it will be given you in that hour what you are to say. For it is not you who speak, but it is the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Brother will betray brother to death, and father the child. And children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. You will be hated by all because of my name. But it is the one who has endured to the end who will be saved. But whenever they persecute you in one city, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will not finish going through the cities of Israel until the Son of Man comes. Okay. Sheep in the midst of wolves. We're still, if we're servants of God and disciples of Christ, He sends us forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. This world is not friendly. There are friendly people in the world. And we're looking for them, and especially people who desire to be friends of God. But this world is full of wolves. There are many wolves who hate sheep, who desire not only to hurt, but to eat up sheep. And Jesus said, I don't think He was sending them out there to get those wolves, but to find the sheep, or the would-be sheep who are out there among the wolves. And you would be arrested, brought before the kings, and betrayed. And they weren't to worry about what to say. Just allow God to speak in you. Allow the Father to speak in you, is His admonition to them. A disciple is not above his teacher, verse 24, nor a slave above his master. He said, this is what happened to your master, and what's going to happen to your master, so the same thing will happen to the servant. It is enough for the disciple that he become like his teacher, and the slave like his master. If they have called the head of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they malign the members of his household? It's exactly what is done. Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the darkness, speak in the light. And what you hear whispered in the ear, proclaim upon the housetops. See that? What you hear in the ear, proclaim it up on the housetops. The housetops in those days were for visiting together, were for yelling out an announcement. The housetop, up on the house. What you hear in the ear, God's will, what God really wants, don't be afraid to tell about God. That's one thing that I thought about here reading this. Jesus is talking to you. Jesus is talking to His disciples. He's talking to those who know Him or learning Him about Him or following Him. And He says, I'm telling you a little more about how God is. Just how He is. You hear this in the ear. A lot of people don't know what is being said in a whisper. But these wonderful truths about God, tell it. Proclaim it. It's time to tell it. What God wants. How He is. Our Creator. How the Father is. So, verse 28, do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear Him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a cent, and yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Isn't that precious? They're all numbered. The very hairs of your head. We serve a Creator and His Son, Jesus Christ, who are about details as well. God loves His children. And He knows the details about us that we can't imagine. And He's concerned about His own. Last night we were talking about the apple of God's eye. What do you do when someone pokes you in the eye or something pokes you in the eye? I give it a slap sometimes. So I get poked in it. You push it away. I tell you, when something coming near God, His eye, do you think He'll do any different? He's going to do something about it. Praise the Lord. Are not two sparrows sold for a cent, and yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Verse 31, so do not fear. You are more valuable than many sparrows. The Lord sees the sparrow fall. Not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But you are more valuable than many sparrows. That's something for the animal rights people. An animal's an animal. You need to be kind to the animals, but they're beasts and they're birds. They're not like God's children. You're more valuable than many sparrows. Verse 32. Therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I came to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be the members of his household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who has found his life will lose it, and he who has lost his life for my sake will find it. Verse 40. He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever in the name of a disciple gives to one of these little ones even a cup of cold water to drink, truly I say to you, he shall not lose his reward. You see that? God's talking to his disciples. And here at the end, he talks about simple little deeds of love, acts of kindness. He's watching. He sees. He notices. Even one of these little, if you give, whoever gives a cup of cold water, even in the name of a disciple, gives it to one of these little ones. Truly, I say to you, he shall not lose his reward. These are precious things here in the Gospels we read that tell us how God is. Jesus told us how his Father is, and I'm thankful that he talked to us so plainly about this. Taking up our cross, following the Lord, some needing to leave father and mother, sons and daughters, because they love the Lord. The Lord sees all these things. And our desire is to be like the Lord. And like his faithful disciples who we've read about. For next Sunday, Lord willing, would you... young and old of the youth, tell about someone who was arrested for preaching the gospel or doing right. Tell a little bit about somebody and their name, who it was that you've read about, were arrested for doing what was right. Remember he said, brought before kings and authorities. Look up something like that. All right, well, you have your last Sunday's assignment. I think it's a story, a Bible story you like, your favorite one, the one you like, and you're going to tell about it, why you like it. God bless.
God told Jonah to go preach in the city, but he didn't want to, so he thought he would get away from God by sailing away on a ship, but then he was thrown overboard and swallowed by a whale and thrown up on the sea shore, and then God told him to go preach again, and then he went.
The Good Samaritan, he didn't even know the man that was by the road hurt, but he helped him anyway. We can learn from that how if we find someone laying by the road, we can help them, not go everywhere trying to let everyone know that we helped someone.
I like the story of the paralyzed man and his friends, how his friends helped him, did not open the roof so Jesus could hear him. And I like that because his friends helped so much.
Nehemiah, in the book of Nehemiah, where I kind of like that book, how he asked the king and went and rebuilt Jerusalem, and and how he did all that, and how the Lord helped him by keeping the enemies away that were wanting to stop the work. And so in November or December, it says it was the month of Chislev, he received word about how bad it was in Jerusalem. And then the next April or May, the king noticed that he was sad. And it says in Nehemiah 2, verse 2, "And the king said to me, 'Why is your countenance sad? And why are you not self-controlled? This is nothing but sickness of the heart.' So I was greatly afraid. Then I said to the king, 'May the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad when the city, the home of the tombs of my fathers, lies waste and its gates destroyed by fire?' And then the king asked him what he wanted. And he prayed to God and then asked if he could go back and rebuild it. And then he, you know, asked for the letters so that he could have wood out of the forests and that. And then it says, what was it? The wall was finished then on the 25th day of Elul. And I think that was 5 months after the king noticed he was sad. And so he did that. And so that was, he worked and worked hard and God helped him. So
I like the story of how when God told Samuel to make a feast and have Jesse come with his boys, even though David was left out to tend the sheep, he was happy. And I like that story because I know how hard it is to be happy when you get left out, because that happens to me every once in a while.
This week I read in Judges 6 and 7 about Gideon when he was just out doing what he was supposed to do, threshing wheat. And the Lord called him to go fight the Midianites. And he just did exactly what God told him to, and God helped him win back.
I think the story of Joseph is encouraging. His brothers sold him into slavery, and then he became a mighty ruler. But when his brothers sold him into slavery, I'm sure that he wasn't enjoying it and thought everything was going wrong. But if something's going wrong in our lives, we should just think that, well, God has a better plan, or what's going to happen. He knows whatever is going to happen, and then he'll just help us through it.
I like how in the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they probably needed to have a lot of trust in God to be able to tell the king that they were not going to worship his idol, and that even though they knew they'd probably be burned for it. And whenever there's a situation that's hard for us, it seems like something might go really wrong or something, we need to trust in him.
I like the story about how Elisha was just being faithful and out in the field plowing with oxen, and Elijah came along and just said, "Come, follow me." And so he right away went and got ready and went with him and learned from him and stayed with him as long as he could until it was time for that God would take Elijah. And And so then when God took Elijah, then he just got Elijah's cloak and put it on him and went to do what was Elijah's work. And so we can learn from that to just be faithful in what we're doing.
I like the story of how Paul was sailing to Rome and they ran into a storm and for a long time they were getting tossed around in the storm, and all the crew and all the men on there didn't eat for 14 days while the storm tossed them around. And then they threw out all the gear and all the food and everything. And then here, Paul got a vision that said that all the men would be okay. And so in the morning he cheered up all the crew and told them, you need to just eat because I got a vision that we'll all be okay. And then some men started putting a boat out into the water, a lifeboat, jump into it and get away. But Paul said, no, because if you do that, you're going to die. And so then finally they ran aground and the ship broke apart, and the centurion said that all the men that could swim need to go first and all the men that can't need to jump on the boards and pieces of wreckage and swim to shore. And so they got to the island of Malta safely.
I like this story of when God asked Abraham to offer Isaac in Genesis 22. Because it reminds us that we shouldn't let anything keep us from doing what's right, and also he really didn't understand why God was going to have him do it, but he just did it because he knew he was supposed to.
I thought of Samson when he conquered the Philistines and God helped him, and then the Philistines, he got proud and Philistines conquered him, and God allowed the Philistines to conquer him, and later he called on the Lord for help and conquered the Philistines.
And the story of Daniel, and the king said that nobody could pray to God except for to him, and as soon as he heard that, he went and opened his window and he prayed like he did every day, three times a day. And the king's spies saw him and they threw him in the lion's den, and he wasn't identified him or anything. He just went peacefully, and God kept the lion's mouth shut.
I appreciate the story about the Samaritan woman that Jesus met in the desert, or wherever, at Jacob's Well it was. And I like any story where Jesus reveals who he is to some people. And but I think part of what I like about it is that it gives me hope. And I kind of put that hope up in some high, lofty place in my mind, like it's something that I'm going to get. Or I think I sort of, because Jesus talked about the living water that he was going to give if she asked, I think about that living water and springing up into eternity, and that sounds really wonderful. I mean, just to think about that, it's an overwhelming thought. But I was thinking about how on the other side of that, or the side that we should consider, is that when it comes to the middle of the week, when things are all boring and dreary, and we're just living life and trying to do the best we can, we need to see the living water in our everyday life and see that the ones that are like our parents, you children, the parents that are teaching you, and us young people that are learning under various circumstances, and we need to take the experiences and the trials in life and see those as living water. And we have a choice of whether to love that and grasp that and do it, the work that's presented to us to do, or we have a choice to not love it and to reject it. And I thought about how in my own life I go through a struggle of either rejecting that or loving it. I think for the most part I love it, but it's hard. It's a struggle every day, and it's not. I believe that Jesus is extending us a chance to for a higher, better life, and it's not. We need to forsake our own ideas and our own pride to receive that. And it's hard to do that. It's a struggle. It's a daily effort. And I thought of the song. I don't know if any of you all know it, but I was going to ask. It's about. I'll just sing it a little bit of it because I don't know the name or the title of it. It goes. One day I came to him, I was so thirsty. I asked for water, my throat was so dry. He gave me water that I had never dreamed of, and for this water my Lord had to die. That's all I know. I know some of the chorus too, but I've always loved that song because I like the story. But I would like to learn the words to that song. So if any of y'all know where that comes from, or if you can give me the words to it, maybe we can learn it. Or maybe I can learn it. But anyhow.